Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hookah, hookah, hookah,
I can't
shaka,
stop
hookah,
this
hookah,
feeling
hookah, hookah, hookah,
deep inside
hookah, hookah,
of me.
Hookah, hookah, hookah,
girl, you just
hookah,
don't realize
hookah, hookah, hookah,
I guarantee you,
hookah,
at some point,
hookah, hookah,
I am going to get caught
hookah,
singing
hookah,
over
hookah,
this bumper music at some point.
Hookah, hookah, hookah,
let me know.
That music's just too good. One of these nights.
Right.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Joining us from Washington, D.C. No, joining us in studio, 4th District Congressman Ron Estes. Good evening, Congressman. How are you?
Good evening, John.
I'm doing well.
How are you?
It's so nice to see you again. I mean, I've known you for... years. It's you and your lovely wife, Susan. You two are the best. So thank you. Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you. Merry Christmas to you, too.
I've seen a Facebook post. Is she feeling any better? I know she's been kind of fighting the crud.
She's still fighting the crud. She can barely talk today, so I won't say that's a good thing.
No, yeah, that would get you in trouble.
Because I couldn't hear her. I had to ask her repeat it, and so that got me in trouble already.
Well, my wife, as I was leaving, she happened to see that post yesterday. As I was leaving the house, she said, make sure to tell Ron to give her regards to Susan. So
yes, yes.
Okay. I have now done my job. I will not get in trouble when I get home.
I will relay that to her.
Please,
thank
please.
You.
So let's get right to it. The last caller at the end of the hour asked me to ask you about the farm bill and your vote on it and your thoughts on it. And in particular, I'll add, I'm sure you know the House was reluctant to give up the work requirements. So just kind of talk a little bit about the Farm Bill, if you would.
Sure. Well, start with, it's kind of a misnomer on the way it's named, because the farming provisions are only about 20% of the cost, and the SNAP food stamp program is 80% of the cost. So there's a little bit of a misnomer there when we go through that. But there's some very good provisions to help provide a backstop for our farming communities in terms of helping provide crop insurance, which is the main thing that helps whether you're a farmer just getting started out or whether you've been in there for years and you might have a problem, have bad weather related, have uncontrolled price drops. You know, we've had price drops of almost 50% since the peaks in 2014 and 2015. It's not related to trade or anything. It's just a typical cyclical nature of the commodity prices. And so having good crop insurance helps provide a backstop for that. The pieces that we wanted to get in through the House were to try to bend some of the problems with the food stamp program. And, you know, that in 1996, when the welfare to work provisions came out, you know, there are work provisions in the food stamp bill. So basically it says up to age 50, and if you have kids up to age 12, you have to work if you're able-bodied up to age 50 and you don't have kids up to age 12. We were going to change it to say, okay, let's make that 59, which is, you know, typical career age, and for kids under 6. And that's the provisions that the House put in there that were so burdensome that the Senate Democrats fought tooth and nail to oppose it, wouldn't move at all on it. And really, what we've seen in Kansas is that on the TANF, the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, some work provisions were put in there. And we saw family income go up. There's lots of statistics. Kansas is one of the states that did that. Maine was one of the states that did that. So we've seen some real-world statistics that show people are better off if they have some encouragement to get back into the workforce to care for their families. So that's what we want to do in the House. Unfortunately, we couldn't get as much as we wanted through the Senate. We did get some improvements into the bill. You know, there are provisions out there that over the years, presidents, Clinton did a lot, Obama did a whole lot, of offering waivers to states so that their participants didn't have to work at all, even if they were within that under age 50 and able-bodied. And so what we what we got in there was that the lowered the threshold of people that can automatically be granted a waiver to not work, and also clarified the provisions so that if the Secretary of Agriculture wants to change some of those waiver requirements and set a better program in place, he or she can be able to do that. In talking to Secretary Perdue, that's one of the things he wants to do, is recognize that we've got a great booming economy now. We've got lots of opportunities. There's lots of employers that are looking for people to go to work. And so we want to make sure that we have those provisions implemented, and we think we're going to see some of those waivers requirements lifted through the Secretary, and that at the end of the day, a lot of people will be better off because of it.
You know, I think it's ironic that one element of this is, you mentioned the TANF program we have in Kansas. I think that's ironic that's one of the things that Laura Kelly actually wants to cut. She wants to change. She wants to roll back some of those things that we did. So it is funny, you've seen that has made positive improvement, and yet she wants to roll that back. And I think, tell me if I'm wrong here, but isn't it true that potentially with Nancy Pelosi coming in, I'm sure you guys are just oh so looking forward to that, but this is probably, I think, as they say, you know, we've heard this a lot in the Kansas legislature, but it probably would have gotten a heck of a lot worse had you not been able to get through what you did this time. If you tried to pass a farm bill under Nancy Pelosi, it might not. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it would have been a lot worse.
That's right. I mean, we passed a good bill out of the House. The Senate passed a bill that wasn't as good. And so the negotiations were to how to make the Senate bill better, closer to the House. If there'd been a Democrat-controlled House passing a House bill, it wouldn't have been as good as the bill that came from the Senate. And so it had been dumbing it down even more than what the Senate version was. So it's better off the way we are now, moving that forward. And that's indicative of a lot of things. You know, look back over the 115th session that we just finished, the last 2 years, and there's so much good that we've accomplished that you won't read about in the mainstream media. I mean, obviously, everybody talks about the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, and we've seen such great economic growth out of that. We've seen, the economy's rolling on about a 3% growth rate per year, which nearly double what it was under the Obama administration, back at 1.9%. We've seen this year a couple of quarters, one was 4.2%, one was 3.5%. We're seeing the lowest unemployment in 50 years. We're seeing all these positive attributes out of that. But that's not the only thing we've done. I mean, we've done some major improvements to the VA administration, passing the VA Mission Act to allow veterans the opportunity to go get their monthly checkups at their hometown doctor instead of having to drive. You know, you could drive 2 hours from a Greensburg or Sedan into Wichita to the VA clinic and waste all your time. And at the meantime, you don't support your hometown doctor. We passed the VA Accountability Act, which gave the secretary the authority to get rid of or discipline employees who weren't doing the job for our veterans. And, you know, during the Obama administration, it really came out that there was a lot of things wrong in the VA with that. And so we wanted to make sure we addressed that. We've passed the bills to help address the opioid crisis, which we're seeing a lot now with the lack of border security. We're seeing a lot of opioid drugs coming into the country, working on that. We passed the Right to Try legislation, which gives a terminally ill cancer patient or other disease the opportunity to try medicine that's not been completely through the FDA approval process if they think it might help them extend their quality of life. And so there's a lot of things along those lines. We passed funding for the military to make sure that they could get the spare parts they wanted, they could get the training that they needed, make sure that they got a pay raise now, the highest in nine years that they've gotten. So we've tried to address some of the things that weren't being addressed. And so when it's written up about what's been accomplished in 2017, 2018, there's been a whole lot of things accomplished positively. I'm not as optimistic that the next 2 years will have that that good of track record.
That's a nice way of putting it. So, well, since we're still in this session, when do you think this session is going to end?
So we lost a week with President Bush's passing and the ceremony around that laying in state and a funeral ceremony. So we've got some things that we really, some we have to finish up this year, some we'd really like to do. Right now, we're funded, about 75% of our government's funded for 2019, fiscal year 2019. 75% of the discretionary spending, which is about $1.4 trillion, roughly, of the federal budget. So we funded the military, we funded Health and Human Services, we funded labor, but there's several agencies that haven't, 7 of the 12 bills haven't been passed yet for appropriations, agriculture and Department of Justice and NASA and several things. So funding for that, temporary funding for that runs out this Friday. So right now the biggest stumbling block is border security, and the Democrats don't want to fund border security because they want it for a political posturing on not building a wall and standing up and preventing what President Trump's talked about in terms of making sure that we do defend our border, whether it's from terrorists, whether it's from human trafficking, whether it's from the opioid traffic that's coming in. And so that's the big stumbling block. It's very possible that there'll be an agreement by Friday. I'm not holding out a lot of hope that that's going to happen. We passed a bill through the House that funds the $5 billion the president requested for border security. The Senate passed a bill that's $1.6 billion. We're right now the Democrats are just saying they don't want to fund any more of what the president request was. And so we'll see come Friday what happens. Theoretically, we could do several things. We could pass just a continuing resolution to January, which has been the practice for the last several years, which not a good practice. We shouldn't be doing that, particularly going into a change of Congress. Another option we could do is come to a full agreement on the $5 billion that the president requested and pass that, move forward either through a continuing resolution, or the best solution is just let's do it for the entire appropriations for the entire year for all 7 of those agencies and appropriations. And so I'm going back Tuesday, and I'm not holding my breath that I'll be coming back on Friday. We will see if it takes longer. We'll stay and work and try to get the right things done for American people.
If you had to guess, I mean, the continuing resolution, the problem with that is then you come back and, I mean, Nancy, I think she'd be quite content to have this fight into the next year and try and make it an election issue and have this be a 2020 election issue. But it seems like so would the president. I think he'd love to campaign on this as well, would he not?
Yeah, I think so. And we know that's the playbook coming from the Democrat strategy, is because they were talking about it on the floor last Thursday, was, well, let's just fund these other things and we'll put off funding the Department of Homeland Security,
right.
Which is, I mean, that's been one of the worst things that we've done the last couple of decades, really, in terms of doing these temporary funding, because you can't plan. You can't do long-range strategy. You can't determine how many people you can hire. You can't issue a long-term contract. Yeah. I mean, it's slowed down our process for FAA, the next generation of air traffic control systems. It's slowed down buying spare parts for the military because they can't plan. They don't have a full budget. And we've got some issues with the security of our country, and that's one of the top responsibilities of the federal government, and we need to make sure that gets funded. We need to make sure we address those issues going forward, not just because of terrorists, but because of drug trafficking, human trafficking, all these other things that are important to us as a country.
Yeah, I mean, for our next topic of conversation, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker Nancy. Ugh, God, that turns my stomach. I can't imagine what it does for you. Tell me what you think. How many calls for impeachment are we going to see? How many committees are investigating Trump are you going to see? I don't know. I mean, what do you anticipate?
So it appears that Nancy Pelosi has the votes wrapped up to become speaker. Of course, that was in doubt. Took an extended period of time.
It did seem to take her a while, especially since nobody ran against her.
Even though there's nobody running against her, yeah, she didn't have the votes wrapped up. And I think that's really indicative of the split within the Democrats in terms of, you know, they've got some traditional Democrats that have been there for a while, and then some very extreme leftist people that are out there taking these extreme positions and arguing the case that typical Democrats like Nancy Pelosi haven't been liberal enough, which is kind of strange. I don't know how she could be more liberal than she has been. But That's been the big push. I know it's going to color. I feel confident it's going to color their approach, their decisions, which is really a sad thing. So instead of the committees focusing on things to help the American people, focusing on helping get more people educated so they can get jobs, helping people take advantage of the taxes and the good economic growth, helping address the failures of Obamacare, which was doomed to fail. I just think all these committees are going to be focused on one hearing after another, looking for allegations, trying to come up with really politically pandering activities. And that'll be a sad state for the country that we won't be moving forward. I do expect, it kind of sounds like they're pushing for impeachment against the president, which obviously there's no facts out there right now that have ever indicated anything for impeachment. But, we've had in the year and a half I've been there, I've had two votes already for impeachment. Just because that was brought up, because that was the political rhetoric that they wanted to bring up. So I think the Judiciary Committee is going to get tied up in that and waste a lot of time. And at the end of the day, as we've seen in some past instances, impeachment process becomes more of a political activity than it does what's right and wrong and what's lawful, what's has somebody being presumed innocent until being proven guilty. It's just the political pandering. So that'd be unfortunate if all this time gets wasted for that.
Well, and money. I mean, I think you're right. That's the other issue, is the time, the money. And though we may disagree with their agenda and what they want to do, the $15 minimum wage, everything else, universal health care, that kind of stuff, I'd at least rather see them, like you said, I'd rather see them at least trying to push their policies rather than just politics.
That's right. I mean, we at the very least, we should be debating facts, and we should be debating policies and pushing what they like, what they think they want, and convince the American people what they want. And we can talk about the right ideas to use and put in place and have that open debate instead of just some political posturing in the background to disrupt things.
So do you think, this is kind of a maybe in the weeds kind of question, but assuming they try it, think we can maybe win it back in 2020? And I know we've only got probably 30 seconds left. But
So it's, you don't know how, 2 years is a lifetime in politics to go through an election process. 2020 is going to be in a presidential election year, so President Trump's going to be out campaigning, working well for his reelection. Obviously, there were a lot of some irregularities in the balloting year in terms of all the votes that were cast after the election went to the Democrats. And so we need to straighten that up. We need to make sure that we get the Republican majority back.
Well, Congressman Estes, thank you for joining us. Merry Christmas to you and to Susan. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you.
Free Christmas cash. All you have to do is listen each day for the Taco Bell weekly location and join us for your chance to win Christmas cash at Taco Bell. One lucky.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.